the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and I want to look at just two verses and give you my thought, and then we'll get right into it. Book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So here's my thought. Don't be distracted by things down here. Let's keep our focus on God so that we can live out the purpose that He has for our lives, for His honor and His glory. Let's look at distraction. Distraction comes in all forms and from all directions, but the result's the same. Distractions take us off course. They prevent us from experiencing what God has for us, and they take us down the wrong path. If we give in to distractions, we will be on the wrong path in just a heartbeat. If we give in to distractions, we compromise. And if we compromise, we can't experience in what God has for us. A distraction is something that takes your attention away from what you're supposed to be doing. That's real elementary, but there's a lot to that. If we're not focused, Brother Dwayne, I remember still you teaching and talking and on that about the focus and on that treadmill, and just, you know, it gets hard a lot of times, you know, and we're distracted by a lot of things in this old world, and, you know, we've got to be careful with that. We've got to keep those things in bounds. We've got to keep those things from, you know, from us giving in to them and then getting on the wrong path. Getting back on track isn't always difficult, but it does require us that we're going to have to get intentional with our time and our attention. We're going to have to spend some energy. We're going to have to work to get back on the right path if we get off and we start headed down that wrong road. I want to ask you several questions tonight, and I just want you to think about this. I want you to think about the distractions. Think about distractions that are in your life, something that maybe you've been faced with, or something that, you know, you may not even realize it. And we're going to talk about that. So my first question tonight, where is our focus? Where's your focus? Where's my focus? Am I distracted of things of this world, the glitz and the glamour? Or have I got a focus for the church, for my family, for myself? And I want to say this, that our focus, it not only affects us, but it affects our family and it affects our church. So I want to say that again. It not only, on our individual basis, does it not only affect us, but our family and our church. The devil knows the what. But let me say this before I move any further. The devil knows the what, the when, and the how. But it's not always the devil. You know? It's us. We may be tempted by things that are out there in this world, and, you know, and he places those things just to get us to trip and to stumble. But in the end, we make that choice. From what he puts in place, we make that choice. So it's on us in the end. The what? What is it for you? So I just jotted down a few things. I want to talk about them. The what? Is it a new job? Is it a promotion at work? I want to say something right there. That looks good out on paper, or out in front of you, that new promotion, you may say, well, I'm getting a raise, so I'm going to be able to better myself and better my family, right? And pay more tithes. But with that promotion, you don't realize what comes with that. Maybe with that becomes more responsibility, most likely, right? Probably with that responsibility becomes more of your time focused on that and not what on God has for us in our lives. So be careful with that. Is it a relationship? Is it a hobby? Here's the one that I think's the worst, probably the biggest distraction of all, social media. How many of you tonight can say that some form of social media has consumed a lot of your time and probably distracted you from doing the things that you should be doing, whether it's your study, you know, reading, devotional, whatever it is? Ask a guy that I used to work with, a friend of mine. You know, he's a Christian, goes to church. And I asked him, I said, what's your biggest distraction spiritually for you? And he's got four, and he said, kids. And I can agree with that. I don't have four, but, you know, he's got them from probably, they're driving, one's driving down to probably fourth or fifth grade. So, you know, he's busy. You know, he's got a lot going on. But what about this? What if we're just, are we just too busy? Do we have just too many irons in the fire? You know, are we just caught up with just, you know, dabbling in this and that and just being consumed by those things, just having too much going on? You know, I've done one of our young couples things one time, talked about some flowers that I had growing, and I won't get into that, the whole thing of it, but basically there was too many for what room was there for them to be growing. So you got to, for them to thrive, you're going to have to get rid of some of that stuff out of our lives, right? In order to survive, you may have to get rid of some things. It's going to cost you something, but you're going to have to get rid of those things. Is it focused on something or someone else other than God? I think a lot of times it is, especially in society, especially for younger kids. I think that's a big thing now. You know, the celebrities of the, you know, TikTok, social media world, whatever all that stuff is. I don't have any of that mess, and I'm glad of it because I can easily be distracted. Whatever it needs to be, the devil knows what it is. He knows our weaknesses. Be very, very careful, because whatever it needs to be, you better believe he knows what it is. With all these distractions, there comes a compromise. When we compromise due to the distractions, for me personally, it's my relationship with God, right? For me, everything that's going on in the world, everything from work to getting home to the kids to supper, you know, to baths, whatever it is, if I'm distracted by anything outside of that, it's usually when I lay down at night or something, I say, okay, I'm going to do my devotional for tonight. What happens? Read about two verses, and I'm asleep. Compromised, right? Was distracted by something throughout the day that took my time, consumed my time, and then that's what suffers for me usually. Because I say, well, I'll do this at the end of the day. You know, the kids will be in the bed, and this is what I can do. And the next thing you know, I'm asleep. You know? So be careful. If we aren't careful, it'll lead us far away from Him and the purpose that He has for our life. Distractions come at the right time, don't they? It seems like, you know, if you think back probably from, like I said, past experiences that you've had, it seems like when everything's going right, here comes this distraction that God or that the devil places right in front of us to distract us, to get us off course. Because that's what he's doing. He's not looking to have you come to church and be a fire starter. No, he's looking for you. He don't even want you at church, but if you do, he wants you to be cold. He don't want you to be prepared. He don't want you to be spiritually ready. He wants you to be cold. The devil knowing the when. Timing in our spiritual walk is very important. God has a plan and purpose for each of us. And He's right on time every time. God is always on time. And the devil's about timing as well. What gets me, usually, is my lack of patience. The how of this is the devil knows our weaknesses. And for me, it's patience. If it's a problem, I want to solve it then. You know, I don't want to think about it too long. I want to move on, whether it's, you know, issues at work, whether it's an employee or, you know, a customer or something like that, whatever it is. I shoot from the hip a lot. Gets me in trouble. And, you know, I have to be careful with that. And I have learned over the years, through some pains that, you know, I've got to step back. You know, I may have to get back with you. You know, I may have to call you back in a few minutes. And I've learned through the years with that. But for me, it's patience. That's probably my worst thing. I used to have zero. Now I just have little to none. And there seems to always be an opportunity or a circumstance that presents itself, right? That we can't wait on. A decision that has to be made now, or so we think. It could be a purchase. I thought about this with Brother Ken. Could be the deal of a lifetime, right? You know? It could just be you're never going to get this opportunity again. You know, it could be a car. It could be a purse. Whatever it is, you know, it's just we think we got to make that decision right now. And that's a big diversion that the devil and distraction that he uses. The devil knows that if he can get us to act on it, he has us. He wants us to make that rash decision. He wants us to shoot from the hip, right? He wants us to do that. One writer said the enemy will try to get us to act too soon or not soon enough out of fear and insecurity. So is that maybe a weakness for you? I think that gets us a lot of times, doesn't it? You know, we're just so unsure about it, so we either act or we don't act. But Proverbs 16:3 says this, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." So I'm interested in part B of that verse where it says, "And thy thoughts shall be established." See, if that door, and I really believe this, that if that door is supposed to be open, that opportunity, that circumstance is right, and we're where we need to be with our relationship with God, if our center focus is on Him and we are where we're supposed to be, that I believe that when that opportunity, that circumstance arises, we'll know what to do, right? We'll know what to do. Because if it doesn't line up with what God has for us, then it doesn't work. That's how you know. If it doesn't line up with the purpose and the plan that God has for your life, it's not right. Move on. Another question. Is your focus on the wrong thing? And I want to look at a couple Bible characters. And so I thought about this with Brother Ken preaching on Martha. You know, Martha, she was doing a needful thing, wasn't she? I mean, she was preparing and serving the Lord. I mean, she was getting ready, you know, but her focus was on the wrong thing, wasn't it? She got caught up in everything that was going on around her. She was so focused on trying to be the perfect host, you know, and she was distracted by what Mary was doing. And, you know, here's the bottom line. Jesus wasn't concerned if it was a full course meal that she was going to serve. You know, He's looking for that intimate relationship with each of us. As His children, He wants us to bring all of our concerns and all of our cares to Him and all of our thoughts to Him. He knows us. He knows the desires of our hearts, but He wants us to have that relationship with Him. Martha missed that opportunity to be in the presence, to sit at His feet and to hear what He had to say because she was so distracted on the things that were going on around her and the things of this world, focused on the wrong thing and distracted. Is it a relationship? I only brought this, I just had this thought with the relationship because I think it makes for a great example that, you know, we all remember, some of you sooner, some of you later, can, you know, back in, it's been several years since you've had that first date, right? Those butterflies, right, that you get. Is it a relationship? Can you imagine? You can remember those times and how your world was turned upside down and the distraction that was involved in that, right? You're going and coming, you know, and coming and going, and next thing you know, it's, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, you got to go to work, and you've been up all night. But I thought about two characters. I thought about Samson and David with a relationship with, you know, a woman. A distraction like that can put us in a bad place real fast. A decision like that we make on a distraction will put you in a bad place real fast. A distraction comes first, then a compromise, then consequences. And these two felt the consequences of that distraction and that decision and the compromise that they made. So just think about that. Think about, we know the story of what happened with Samson and with David and what they went through by just having that distraction in their life. Is it a love or passion for something? Is it the lake? Is it the ball field? Is it hunting? Is it shopping? Is it work? Or money? Are we after the money? Is that something that you're driven by? You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, it's the root of all evil. We got to be real careful with that. Is it one of these things that distracting you from being in the right place, that center focus with Christ? I said earlier, talking about our individual focus and how it not only affects us, but our family and our church. And I want to look at that just for a minute. A few weeks ago, Brother Jamie preached what a message. Challenged me. I mean, it was a very timely message. And I left out of here so broken. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I doing what I need to do so that I'm producing oil? Not just for me and my family, but for the church, Liberty Baptist Church, and the church outside of these walls. But I got to thinking, I listened to that message again and was thinking when Brother Jamie was talking about the past services that he had been in. And he had been a part of. Not that you were just there, Brother Jamie, but you was a part of that service. Not just a spectator, but a participator, right? And that's what it is, folks. We've got to be a participator and not be a spectator. What it's like to experience the power of God. You don't forget that. I haven't got over that. About 2 weeks, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, be 7 years that God saved me. And I ain't got over it yet. Hope I don't ever. What was that, James? Some 20, 25 years ago? It's unreal. Brother Mike mentioned, I think, at the end of the service, from when he was a little kid and just remembers church services and it still being a vivid memory that he still can recall. What a message. That challenged my heart. So I ask you, what is it? Are we distracted like Martha, that we too can come and be at church and be around Jesus and miss His presence? Are we so far out there that we show up Wednesday night, we show up Sunday mornings and still miss Him? It's possible. It's very possible. If we want to have church, we can have church. It's not over. It's not over. Now, it may be for America. America, I believe, has turned their back on God. And we've done about everything that, you know, we can do to get rid of him. And, you know, just some of the stuff that Stephanie was telling me this week with this Dr. Seuss and some of this other stuff. Man, it's unbelievable what this world, I mean, it's gone crazy. Where our focus is at. These distractions, they'll take us so far out of this thing that the next thing you know, our kids won't ever have that opportunity. My kids, I'm thinking Hudson's age, may never have that opportunity to experience church like what Brother Jamie's talking about. And you know, and like a lot of you have experienced as well. Won't even know what it's like to have church like that. If we go down the wrong path for too long, it simply becomes the path. Right? We'll continue to get farther and farther and farther away to one day when we look back, that fork in the road where we went off, where we were distracted, we started compromising. We won't even be able to see the fork in the road anymore. We'll look back and it'll look just like in front of us. That'll be the new direction if we're not careful. Churches have already started compromising. You can see it. You know, I can see it on just here locally, just with Facebook and all the live streaming and stuff like that that's going on. These churches, a lot of them, you click on them, don't even look like a church. You know, it looks like a nightclub or something. I mean, it beats all I've ever seen. You know, I'm not sure what it is. I can't speak for, you know, the preachers and pastors and stuff like that, but it's like they're so scared, and maybe, you know, that it's, I don't know. I mean, we're so blessed to be at liberty, you know, and not have all the things that other churches have to deal with, you know, and our preacher preaches on it, and I know nothing about it, but, you know, with the deacons and everything else that a lot of churches are faced with, are they just scared to upset somebody? Are they scared they're going to make somebody mad? You know, about preaching on their sin. You know, I heard a message that Brother Ken preached several years ago. And it was back in 2009. And, you know, he said, I don't want to step on your toes. I want to bust your heart open. And that's the kind of preaching we need. If we're going to continue to have church, that's the kind of preaching we got to have. Hey, I know I'm a sinner. But I'm saved by grace. And I know I fell him. But guess what? I need to be reminded of just how sorry I really am. I don't need anybody to sugarcoat anything to me. Just tell me the truth. I can respect that more than you just tiptoeing around it. If I've done something wrong or I've upset you, tell me. We'll deal with it and move on. And I'm going to say something right here and probably shouldn't. If we want to have church within these walls here, we got to be careful with how we treat each other. We can't judge each other. You know, you see things and hear things, and, you know, me and Brother Mark talked about this the other day, had this conversation about, you know, not knowing both sides of the story. Making assumptions about someone or somebody else and not even knowing the whole truth. You know, and even within that, you got this side and that side of the story, and somewhere in the middle lies the truth, right? That's something we got to be able to discern and figure out. You can't just... All right, I'm going to move on. We got to love each other, right? You know? If we have a problem all against somebody, let's go to them and let's take care of that. And let's get it taken care of and move on and let's keep going. You know, the devil wants us to give in. He wants us to be distracted, right? He wants us to compromise. Because with the now I'm going to tell you, so if we compromise, then he's won. It's not the end of the story, but he's won. And with this compromise comes the consequences. With that compromise comes the consequences. 2 Timothy 3:4 says this, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." It's already happening. It's already taking place in churches right now. Consequences from distractions. The church becomes unrecognizable as the church. The church becomes like the world. God says for us to come out among them and be ye separate. For the church not to look like or be like the world. We're the light. Us, Christians, the called out ones, we're the light to this dark and dying world. We can't bring that in here. If we do, then there's going to be consequences. Consequences from distraction. We let sin become okay. And now just being a good person is good enough. That's already. There's a problem with that. The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. Our preacher said Sunday, one sin, just one sin, will send you to hell. Salvation. Salvation will be so far removed that kids, Hudson's age, the next 10 to 15 years of the most crucial time of his life, when he'll still be in at our home and in church, when we still have that control, you know, to have him here under the preached word. But if we're not careful, they'll know nothing about that. Their churches now don't preach on sin. Just be a good person. God loves you. God loves everybody. He does. And that's the truth. But He hates the sin. He hates the sin. I added this note. We're blessed. We're blessed at Liberty. Our preachers, Brother Mike, Brother Ken, I'm so thankful that they stand on God's Word. I'm so thankful that, you know, the men that they bring in to preach and stand in this pulpit, that they're here because they believe that they stand and preach the gospel for the truth of what it is. You must be born again. There's no hope unless you're born again. You will die and go to hell. First is the distractions, then the compromise, and what gets us is the consequences. How do we avoid all this? How do we avoid all of this? Get rid of the distractions. Right? Sounds easy enough, but I found in my life, it's not as easy as I always think it is. Some, not that big of a deal. Some distractions we can handle ourselves. Some we recognize. And that's the next thing I want to talk about. How do we get rid of these? We must first recognize these distractions that are in our life. We must first recognize them. Secondly, we must avoid and eliminate them. Once we know what they are, we need to eliminate them. We need to get them out of our lives. If we either need to make that decision at the beginning not to give in, or if we do, then we've got to eliminate that. We've got to get back on the right path. Can we do it on our own? For some of us, yes, to a certain degree. Because we all know what those little things are, right? We all know we come in the house, tired, just want to sit down for a minute, get our phone out, start scrolling, sit down, turn the TV on, right? We know those little things. We can see those things in our lives. But for the most part, we need help, right? We need help. That help comes to us by the Father, by us through prayer, taking and casting our cares and concerns on Him. He can show us and help us with those things. He can even remove those things from our lives. These distractions, in a lot of cases, they become more than a distraction. They become a lot bigger. Becomes a lot bigger problem. See that distraction, what used to just take some of your time just here and there, has now become a part of your everyday life. It's gotten so big that you don't even realize it. You can't escape from it. We can't break those chains because it has consumed us. And we don't even realize it. As I said earlier, I've mentioned the social media, and I think that's probably, as a whole, just across the board, I think that's probably the worst distraction for us. Probably in the world, I would think. But whatever it is, for you, fill in that blank, whatever it is, it may be so obscure to us that it takes God to show us and to deliver us from that. So I'm almost done. Two things. So I ask you, do you have any distractions that are holding you back? Is there anything keeping you from what Brother Jamie was preaching, producing that oil, keeping the lights on? If so, for your sake, your family's sake, in this church, in our children now, are you willing to get rid of them? Are you willing to recognize there's a problem? If so, there's a price. Are you willing to pay it? Brother Mike, I'm through.